another 30 years to wait for Super Bowl. Heck, he's entering 25 years since his last Super Bowl. So what does that tell you? He understands, more than anything else, time's running out. And if you're Washington, you haven't won a Super Bowl since 91, coming on almost 30 years now. So what does that tell you? What does that honestly tell you? When we return, we're going to talk about the New England Patriots, but in particular in regards to Brady's contract. I'm going to offer some more thoughts on it. I started sharing some of my thoughts on, I believe it was Wednesday. Yeah, it was Wednesday when I filled in. I'm actually going to go a little further more into it. That and much more coming up. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show, and this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
The Cambridge Bicycle Committee says, get on your bikes, have fun, and ride safe. Here's how.
A pavement light, shoots a light at night. The stop signs apply to you all right. Watch for the man sitting in his car. He's gonna kick that door ajar. Go with the flow, don't go the wrong way. Put that helmet on your head today. Well, all right, get on your bikes, ride safe. Have fun, all right.
Message from the Cambridge Bicycle Committee.
Oh, music is my weapon. When the bombs are gonna blow, music is my weapon. Might not seem like it'll hold, but music is my weapon of choice, of mass creation, my transportation to every nation, to every heart that pangs like mine, to every soul that feels itself with music as my way.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. And we're going to begin the hour by talking about the New England Patriots. The Patriots, as you all know by now, they started up training camp again this past Thursday down at Foxborough. And the great thing about it is that it signifies the return of the NFL and football. In my head, football season's here. Although they haven't started playing live games yet. That'll change Thursday when they play the Hall of Fame game, but nevertheless, football's back. But the big story surrounding the New England Patriots this training camp is the contract of Tom Brady. And entering this year, he has 1 year left on his deal. This is this upcoming season. And then he'll be a free agent, an unrestricted free agent in 2020. And the thing that intrigues me in particular is Brady. Is this 1 year going to fuel his fire? Especially if Belichick does not offer him a new deal by the start of the regular season? Or does this potentially have an opportunity to become a big distraction? Because one thing with the Patriots is that we all have come to know is that they do a great job of not allowing outside distractions for whatever reason that may be. And that they keep a lot of things in-house. And I give them a lot of credit for that. I really do. But here's the thing. At some point, and I'm sure Belichick knows this, if this goes into the regular season, this will become a bigger story than what it already is. Especially in the national media. And then all the speculation will begin. is this Brady's final year in New England? And not just based on, not based on his performance, but by the fact that Belichick hasn't offered him a multi-year deal. It just hasn't happened yet. You know, and I mentioned this on Wednesday when I did the fill-in show, that personally, I want to see Brady and the Patriots get a deal done. I do. I honestly, truthfully do. But the fact of the matter is this, and I brought up this take on Wednesday because I started playing devil's advocate in regards to the situation, and I thought the following. Is this an opportunity for Belichick to finally to use this as a way to push Brady out the door and to perhaps begin the transition process to start that next guy that's going to take place for Brady? That was Wednesday. That was what I said on Wednesday. And thinking about this now, again, as I mentioned that very piece again, it's not completely far-fetched. Because think about it. What is one of Belichick's golden rules? One of his golden rules has always been a year too early is better than a year too late. And if I'm being completely honest, I'm looking at the writing on the wall already. Number one, if you have said, and he did, by the way, I'm just saying this for argument's sake. If you've said that there's no quarterback that I would rather have than Tom Brady, then why on earth have you not offered him a contract as of yet? Why? Is it because of the annual average value for the contract that you're concerned about? That and the age? Then you have a problem on your hands. Because guess what? What if he goes into the year, has a career year, has an MVP-like season, and then, oh, by the way, he wins you another Super Bowl. Now what? Now what? Because if we're being completely honest, there is that chance that the Patriots can win the Super Bowl again this season. There is a legitimate chance. America's worst nightmare. So if Belichick is looking at the following factors of age, how long is he going to play? In comparison with what other slobs across the NFL, such as the Matt Ryans of the world, the Matt Staffords of the world, the Aaron Rodgers of the world, it's finally time for him to get paid what he's due. It's time. I mean, Russell Wilson got his contract extension. But yes, he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Oh, no questions about it. So when is Brady going to get his? When? Is it going to be before the start of the regular season? I doubt it will be during the regular season because Belichick does not do contracts or business related stuff during the season in terms of like giving out contract extensions. If anything, he's a type that'll actually trade you. Go ask Jamie Collins. So, with that being said, you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. I don't think it's completely out of the realm that Brady uses this as leverage and adds on the quote-unquote late tax. Oh, you don't want to pay me? You don't want to pay me now? Okay, cool. goes out, has a monster year, and wins you another Super Bowl. Ha ha. Now you're going to pay me even more than what I was asking for. You gave me no contract for next season or even moving forward. I went out and bust my tail to win you another Super Bowl. Pay me. Pay me more. Show me the money. Give it up. Let's go. I want my money. I want my money today. Give me what is due. Or does Belichick look at him and say, you're kind of getting older and you're kind of falling off. Last season wasn't really your best year. You regressed a little bit. So I'm not going to be in any type of rush to give you a new deal. You're going to play out the season. You're going to earn and show me exactly why I should invest, let's say, for argument's sake, a three-year deal worth, what, $90 million? Or a three-year deal worth $150 million? Why should I do that? Why? And by the way, I'm just using those numbers as just hyperbole. That's all. So don't take those figures as exactly what the Patriots would offer him. But I mean, considering what he's done and what he's meant to this organization, you can't really put a price tag on it. You can't. So my only thing is to Belichick, and I'm sure, and I know he knows this. Because he addressed it in his opening press conference when he said, I'm not here to talk about players' contracts or any person's contracts. Well, we'll talk about it later. No, he's never been one to do that. Never. So suddenly, he's going to change course and make Brady an exception? I don't think so. I don't think so. But at what point do you begin to be concerned as to what is it that Belichick is planning to do in regards to Brady moving forward? Because right now his future is uncertain. So what's the latest? And the last thing that I've read and I've heard is that the Brady side, they're frustrated. Because one, there seemingly has been no progress made in the negotiations. And on top of that, and there's no signs of a new deal on horizon for Brady. So what does that tell you? So like I said, if you are Brady, you're thinking, you know what, fine. I am going to go out and I'm going to earn it. I'm going to go earn it. Every dollar that I feel that I owed and that I should be making. And I know he will. There's no question in my mind that he will, as he always has. For years, he's been the poster boy of making sacrifices for the team. You know what? I know I'm not going to make top dollar, but I want to have a better team around me so we have a chance to win. And now at this stage of his career, he's due. Pay him. This may very well be his last pro contract. And I know people were saying such 5 years ago. I get it. I totally get it. But let's face it. I, I I personally don't see him playing past 45. I don't. He's 42 years old now. So maybe this could be his last contract. Perhaps. We don't know. But we'll see. Time will tell. Time will certainly tell. Coming up next. Were we fooled by what we saw last season? Or was this a sign of greatness? That and much more. Plus your phone calls at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. This is the Shukri Wright Show. And you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
WMFO Medford.
Hi, this is the Michael J. Epstein Memorial Library, and you're listening to Freeform Radio 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
This is Satomi.
And this is Ed from Deerhoof.
Yeah. You are listening to
WMFO in Medford.
Yeah.
You owe no home of no family.
There's a price tag on almost everything. Whether you drive a shiny new 1952 model or a pre-war jalopy, you had to pay the price. And when you're driving that car, remember that speed also has its price. The price tag on speed violations last year was 15,000 killed and 500,000 injured. This year, thousands of lives can be saved if you and millions of other motorists come to the sober realization that speed is the biggest killer on the highways and resolve to slow down before you or someone else pays the price that must be paid for it. You can do your part by keeping within speed limits. At all times, drive as though your life depends on it. It does.
Got a broken axe, 100 photographs. I wish you would.
safe and end up with the bad. Take a risk and things might turn out bad. But that's life, that's life, that's life. That is life. Weigh the cost and take a chance. Do not tiptoe, but rather dance through this life, this life, this life, through this life. We must find a way to truly live each day. Our full potential we will see. Century. Their one request is there's more to be seen in their lives, their lives, their lives, in their lives. Grab your shoes and put them on your feet. It's time for dreams and reality to meet in your life, your life, your life, in your life.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Thank you for tuning in wherever you may be and beginning your Saturday with this show. You know, I had a thought on Thursday that occurred to me. And one of the things that I thought about, especially as training camp began for the New England Patriots, is that it's amazing how high the bar of excellence has been set, especially here in New England, especially in regards to the Patriots. And one of the things that we've seen that has been so consistent with this organization, to the envy to the rest of the NFL, is that they have always been able to solve and figure out what their deficiencies are and correct it while getting better at what they're already good at. Part of what makes you great is your ability to adapt. Your ability to make adjustments. Your ability to be able to overcome any and every obstacle that's in your way. And the New England Patriots have done that better than anyone else during this run. Especially over the last 20 years coming on now. But with every standard of success and every barometer that's reached, sometimes there's an exception. There's an exception to every rule. There's an exception to every law. There's an exception to your standard, to even your own standard, that sometimes, depending on circumstances, it may or may not be attainable, as easy as attainable. And one of the things that really struck me about the New England Patriots last season in particular is that they didn't have their best regular season. They didn't. Let's have a moment of complete honesty here. Complete transparency. When we reflect to last season's Super Bowl championship season for the Patriots, do you honestly say that they had an exceptional year? They were absolutely terrific. Everything went their way. They didn't have any problems. They were absolutely outstanding in every facet of what they did. No. Not even in the slightest. Not even close. And one of the interesting things about it is there are moments in last season, and I don't need to relive it, that we all, and I dare for you to call in to this show and tell me that you didn't have that moment of doubt. We all have moments where we all just thought, this just isn't their year. It's just not their time. Maybe, you know what? This isn't for us. This season, it's a lost season. It is what it is. We all remember what happened in Miami, the way that game ended. We all remembered how the game in Pittsburgh ended in particular. I don't even want to, like I said, I'm not trying to relive it. That's not what I'm trying to do. But the thing that also stood out to me was that in spite of all of that, they found a way. They found a way. They still got the first round bye. They had the one home playoff game. And of course, we all knew what happened after. They went to Kansas City and won in overtime and won the Super Bowl. We all remember all of that. Great. But here's the thing. In spite their down year, and then again, and being completely honest, they're probably the worst year, the worst Super Bowl championship season, I would say, out of the six that they've won, probably their worst. Now, some would say, really? Even worse than 2001? I would actually put 2001 ahead of 2018's team. That's just being out. Call me crazy, but that's, I honestly do think that the 2001 Patriots was actually better than the 2018 version that we saw. I really do. However, with that being said, did the 2018 New England Patriots create a dangerous precedent of expectations among the fans and media in New England? And I think this morning it's a very fair question to ask. Patriot fans, feel free to call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. I'm interested in hearing and getting your thoughts, because if you were to actually look at the rosters from both teams, 2001 and 2018, and you look at just the talent, you can make the case that the talent was there on both teams, 2001 and 2018. 2018, a little bit more so, yeah. But it just, in terms of the precedent, because mind you, both 2001 and 2018, they went 11-5. Both of those teams did, and they both won the Super Bowl. Both of them did. So, it wasn't a matter of, well, the records were identical. The quarterbacks were the same. Check. Same head coach. Check. The thing is, when it comes to expectations and looking at how last season unfolded, I oftentimes say to myself, last season was almost a telltale sign of, you know, this team isn't as good as we think it is. Somehow, again, they won another championship. Somehow, some way, even in their down regular season. So, does that open the gate of, you know, we could completely dog the regular season. What we find coming to playoffs, ain't nothing to worry about. Is that right? In the AFC, or even in pro sports, that's not a mentality that you have. And of course, the Patriots don't have that mindset. But because of how last season went, I really think to myself that, you know, in hearing how a lot of the fans were talking, especially late last week, in regards to expectations, and as well as, oh, we didn't have our best year, but we still won the Super Bowl. Like, that, it just seemed like the thought was, we don't have to have the best year, our best year, to win. And then on top of that, we don't have to take the regular season as serious. It's a dangerous, dangerous thought to have as a fan base. And I did hear some people in the media, you know, touch on it a little bit. And I really began to think to myself, is this what you really want to use as a precedent? No. Here's what we're not going to do. What we're not going to do is use 2018 as the expectation, rather the exception to the rule. No way. Absolutely no way. You don't lower your bar of excellence when you have a moment or a time that you're off your game and use it as your new reality. That makes you look weak, vulnerable, and dare I say, it makes you look incompetent. Because ultimately, what you really need is to be able to fix whatever issues there were last season and get better. That's what it's about. One of the interesting things that I realized as I talked about was the Patriots, they've always have done a great job of not being complacent. So complacency is not an issue here. Not something I'm worried about. What I am worried about is them getting too comfortable, which I know it sounds a little crazy, but yet again, with the way that the fan base and some people in the media were talking, well, we went 11-5, didn't have our best regular season, but somehow we got in, We ran the table. I don't know. That's not even what I want to hear. But why should I care about what you want to hear? You want to know why? Because ultimately, what you spew out becomes a part of your reality. Especially in sports, the way that you talk and the way that you think, it affects how you operate. And that's the truth. It's the absolute truth. Coming up next. Oh, man. It's time. It's time to seriously look at the Boston Red Sox. It's time to talk about the Red Sox because they have really made me eat crow to some degree. I'll explain how coming up next on the Shukri Writes Show. And this is Shukri Writes. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Touch Free Form Radio.
Hi, I'm Charlize Theron with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Almost all the puppies for sale at your local mall were churned out by breeding facilities called puppy mills.
Constant confinement drives the dogs mad. They are impregnated continually until they can no longer produce a litter.
If you choose a dog from the mall, a dog you could have saved from the pound will die.
Contact PETA to learn how you can make a difference at 757-622-PETA or visit PETA.org.
Historically, it seems that I haven't been in the best news. I wonder if you always know I'd kill the love we grow. No, now you can't claim your innocence after all.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tusk Reform Radio. Before we go on to the next segment, we actually have a phone call that just came in from Mario in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. In fact, just give me 1 second. I'm actually going to put you on right now. Mario in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. What's going on, bud?
Hey, listen, been hearing your show. You're doing a fantastic job. I'm happy for you. Congratulations on your new gig.
Thank you so much.
I heard your piece regarding the Patriots and comparing them to the 2001 team that beat the Rams and the level of expectation. I don't think anybody, whether you're in Boston or anywhere in the country, actually saw the Patriots team and looked at that roster at the beginning of the year and actually thought that they were going to win the Super Bowl. No one did. Everybody was high on the presumed expectations of Kansas City with their offense, with Mahomes and other teams in the AFC. They were looking to be ready to topple the Patriots,
especially defensively
And granted, the Patriots team was that team that won last year was the worst defensive team that Belichick's ever coached.
Yeah.
The only difference between Belichick's teams that won the Super Bowl is that last year's team had a running game to protect Brady. Because Brady's dominance is starting to crack. And everybody knows that he's 41 going on 42 this year. No one can expect him to throw for 5,000 yards. No one can expect him to throw for 40 touchdowns anymore. And the fact that he's lost his best receiver and his most trusted receiver outside of Edelman and Gronkowski, you can't expect the expectations of the Patriots are at a point of transition, because now you're going to start seeing both Brady and Belichick start riding into the sunset. They have a lot of wiggle room now. They have a lot of time now to try to figure things out to start the next transition to who's going to be the next great quarterback for the Patriots.
Yeah.
The other thing I mentioned is the comparison that you made between the Patriots of 2001 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I have a better comparison, and it involves a different sport, and it involves a team that you love.
Yeah.
The 2000 New York Yankees.
Yeah.
The 2000 New York Yankees, in that four out of five year stretch where they won the World Series title, that team was the worst team out of those four teams that won.
Absolutely, by far. Yeah.
The worst team. In August and September, and I remember this clearly because, you know,
so do
I was involved. I worked in both ballparks. The Yankees backed their way into the playoffs. The Yankees actually lost the day they clinched the playoff spot when they made the playoffs.
They slumped pretty badly. Yeah.
Their pitching slumped. Their hitting slumped. They finished with 87 wins. For a championship team, they had 87 wins, and they managed to turn it on in October and ran roughshod against the entire AL between Cleveland and who else they played, and then they beat the Mets in five, which happened to be that Mets team in 2000. Technically, on paper, if you really want to say it, had a better team.
Yeah.
But the Yankees had the experience with Jeter and Bernie Williams. That's a better comparison. What you saw in the 2000 Yankees were clinks in the armor. It was a lot of games that they played. A lot of high pressure games that they played. And you started seeing the cracks. O'Neal was getting older. Bernie Williams was getting older.
Yeah.
They were starting to get a little bit complacent. The pitching wasn't as great as it was in 98, 99, and the early part of 2000 before they slumped.
Yeah.
In 2001, they lost to the Diamondbacks. And you started seeing the change in transition in not only the managers thinking, the players thinking, but ownership's thinking. And all they wanted to do was start trying to buy the best players, the best free agents in baseball,
mm-hmm.
and not rebuilding from the core that they should be doing, that they have now.
So Mario, let me pose you this question then. In the comparison that you made, in just reeling back a little bit in terms of between the 2001 Patriots and the 2018 Patriots. What would you say was the one major difference between those two teams? Because in my book, I think the big difference in terms of those two teams was the running game. Because if you think about it, the running game was much more of a factor in last year's team, especially with rookie running back Sony Michel, who if it wasn't for injury, would have had a 1,000-yard rushing season.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think the 2001 team had Corey Dillon.
Yeah.
And I, you know, but the difference is as well, besides the fact they had a running game, and Deshaun's going to be a stud. I think he's going to come back. They're going to build an offense that's going to let Brady be more of a complement to what he used to be. I mean, Brady was the star. Brady was the man. Brady had the ball for the last, 17 seasons. Now they realize that they're going to have to give him people to help him.
Yeah.
Almost the same way that the Denver Broncos did with Peyton. Peyton didn't win that Super Bowl. The defense won the Super Bowl. Bottom line. We all know that against Seattle. That's just going to be the next phase of Brady's career. He's 42. Can't expect him to be great. But the difference between the 2001 Patriots and the 2018 Patriots is the defense. The defense in 2018 was horrible. It's probably the worst defense that any Bill Belichick coach team, and that includes him being with the Browns and the Giants.
Would you say it was worse than 2009?
Yes, I do. The thing is that, you know, when you have a running game that helps, I mean, look at the overtime against Kansas City. Brady didn't really have the ball. Brady got a lot of lucky breaks with calls that were missed, et cetera, that we could talk about that at a different day. But he didn't throw the touchdown that won that game against Kansas City. They ran the ball in. You never see something like that. Brady called a running play.
Yeah.
He trusted Michelle. And
James White as well.
And James White, probably an unsung hero in the last two or three titles they've won, because this guy comes out of nowhere.
Especially 51, you know,
he doesn't play, you know, two games in a row and then comes out and has 14 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. James White is one of those unsung Bill Belichick-type players that, you know, when he needs him, he can call him in and he does it. But that's the difference. That is one big difference. But the defense of 2001 was young, was hungry, and they just got better. They got better.
100%.
The Patriots defense this year, last year, was a problem, because you don't see Belichick teams give up 30-something points. You don't. Or, you know, even 40. You don't see teams like the Belichick teams get blown out. On the rare occasion that they do, they come back the next week and drop a 50 spot. They didn't do that last year,
and especially when it
changed.
Yeah, and especially when we sit here and we look back on those two teams in particular, and especially when we look furthermore into depth and make this last point before I have to let you go, that the thing from last year that one of the things that stood out to me in particular when we look at specifically the defensive side of the ball was that I have never seen a team, the Patriots team, any Patriots team, especially in the last 15-plus years, give up the amount of yards per game that they were giving up, especially on the ground and even at times in the air, because that secondary at times was getting burned. It was getting burned in the air.
Oh, absolutely. And you look, again, that's also a product of what the NFL has become. You don't have defenses, stud defenses like you used to have, like the Ravens. Back in 2001 when they were unbelievable. Or the 85 Bears were unbelievable. You don't have defense like that. You have defenses now that will bend, and don't break. And that is the defense the Patriots played with in 2018, and they were able to bend just enough to not break and keep the Patriots in it. And then, obviously, when you have Tom Brady, who's won 6 Super Bowls and MVPs and et cetera, you have to trust them. So, and that's why they won.
Absolutely. And thank you for the phone call. It was definitely a terrific phone call and conversation on comparing it to two teams. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed the show.
I do, and good luck to you. I will keep watching, and I look forward to meeting you one day in New York.
Definitely. Thank you so much, man.
You got it. Take care.
Take care. Yeah, that was absolutely fantastic. Talking with Mario calling from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, in regards to comparing the two teams, and the thing I want to also add to, because I know I mentioned I was going to talk about the Red Sox, which that will hold over into the 8 o'clock hour, is that when I mentioned at the beginning about the running game, yes, you had Corey Dillon in 2001 and so forth. But the thing is, when you look at offensively, for the New England Patriots, it's very easy to say that this past season's team, they were better because based on personnel. I mean, yes, you had Gronkowski. I mean, there were times that he was not healthy. But the fact you had Gronkowski, Edelman, and as well as Sony Michel, the rookie, James White, the running back, and when you look at the 2001 team, you had guys like Troy Brown, for example, Jermaine Wiggins, who was a tight end. I mean, obviously you had Brady as well. I think you were more offensively gifted last season than you were in 2001. But 2001, you were efficient. You were very efficient offensively. And it was like the first year that you really saw the efficiency and effectiveness of the Bill Belichick offense work successfully in New England. And that in itself is a byproduct of two things. Number one, the personnel that you have. Because you have to have the right personnel on the field. You have to have the right guys that can be able to execute offensively when asked. And then on top of that, you also need guys who you think and that you can also rely on that can do the job for you. And not only that, play big roles for you, especially guys like Antoine Smith. I mean, David Patton is definitely another guy who I also remember as well. And interestingly enough, I really believe looking back on that team, and especially last season's team, you had more talent on last season's team than versus 2001, but you were able to do more with less in 2001 than you were able to last season. So what does that tell you? What does that honestly tell you in terms of the greatness of Bill Belichick, in terms of being able to coach with less talent and still get the most out of your guys while being able to maintain and exceed your own expectations? So that in itself is truly remarkable in every right. It truly is. Coming up next, I look forward to taking more of your phone calls, 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Coming up next, we're going to talk Boston Red Sox baseball. Because let's face it, somehow, some way, this team looked like, starting to look like,